Hello, and welcome back to the Dungeons & Dragons Podcast UK. My name is Yasmin, and I will be the DM.
Hi, my name's Spencer. I play Caddo Chasseur, a cleric from Gavany, who has a pet dog called Pickle.
Hi, my name is Samantha. I play Laura Greyvale, and she is a sorceress from the province of Nevalia.
Hello, I'm Colin, and I play Quinn de Greymont, a paladin from Flarbon in the province of Gavany.
Hi, I'm Ryan. I play Ogvar Shawfort, a goat-herding, mushroom-seeking ranger from Kessig.
Interlopers on church property was intolerable for our paladin partnership, and with violence breaking out in the vault, it was clear to all concerned that things could only conclude in carnage. After successfully creating some very dense vegetation and snaring several soldiers in its snake-like fronds, Ogvar was offended as one of Axum's reprobates made a rather rude gesture. In a cool and collected response, and with pinpoint precision, he sent his own sentimental message to the miscreant by destroying his digit. With the front doors now ominously ruined beyond immediate repair, the church's comrades closed ranks and braced themselves for a face-to-face battle. Episode 96, Vaults, Violence and Veg.
Okay, so, Caddo and the Cathars on top of the tower.
Oh, you've ran to me.
Yeah. What are you doing?
From the tower, can I see the front door? Or sort of near the front door?
If you look directly down, you can kind of, yeah.
So I'm going to try and fire a fountainhead bolt 10 feet in front of the front door.
Okay.
Into the solid ground.
Okay.
Now, I assume on the basis that it's an... I'm firing at the floor. I haven't got a roll to hit. It's the floor.
No.
Okay, in which case that lands, which means that the bolt creates a geyser of spewing acid that's a 10-foot radius circle that's going to do 2d8 damage to anybody who walks in there for the next 3 rounds.
Okay.
So we'll do that first.
Did you say 10-foot radius?
Yeah. So I fired it sort of 15, so I don't want the acid spewing on the door, but it's sort of... right in front of the door. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so kind of 15 foot.
Yeah.
Okay, so the way I'm going to draw this, just so you've got a bit of a reference here so we can know what we know what we're doing. You have the door in the kind of middle, 25 foot across. So the area that we've got that's workable is 25 foot across, and then it obviously extends backwards. You've got the door directly in the centre. It's not going to be 5 foot wide door, it's like more like 10, 15 foot wide door. It's a big door. You've just dropped a fountainhead bolt 15 foot in front of this door. So the area affected is going to be like that.
Is a 20 foot diameter circle.
20 foot diameter circle. So you've dropped in, the front row of people are 5 foot into this. I'm going to say there's room two people each side. They're going to be coming in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So you've got 6 rows of people incoming. Front row's got 7 in, minus 2 off. So 5 people on that front row are going to be affected by this.
Right, they've got a DC 14 saving throw for half damage.
Okay, so we're going to do them as a group. DC 14, that was a 9, they're not going to make it.
Okay, they're all taking 2d8 damage then.
So roll 2d8.
Ten
points of damage.
Each.
Okay, nice. So 5 out front and 5 are taking 10 points of damage. Okay. Yeah, so from the top, you ping a bolt down, and it lands pretty much dead upright in the ground, 15 foot in front of the doors. There's a brief pause before it starts spewing out this acidic, well, this green acid, which basically creates kind of like a mist, a very fine mist in this area. As it lands, the five people in the middle of this front row of oncoming guards are all affected. They're within its radius, and they begin to scream in pain as the acid burns at their skin. They stumble backwards, but they're not out of range. They are still very much within range. Okay, are you doing anything else?
Well, with my second bolt, can I still see the other leader?
Yes.
Excellent. So I'm going to shout to the Cathars, aim for the leader like I did before. Okay. And I'm going to take one more pop at him.
Okay.
That's a nat one. That's no good, is it? So that's not hitting him.
What are you using?
Just a crossbow bolt.
Okay, so you're using a crossbow. Okay. So the Cathars around you, they lease off arrows. They're not very coordinated. They just kind of scatter around. They don't really have much of an impact. As you lean forwards to fire off your bolt, you slip ever so slightly on one of the broken tiles that litter the floor of the tower. And as you slip forwards, the end of your crossbow digs into the stonework and is pulled out of your hands, where it tumbles down the side of the tower.
Oh, that's a bit rough.
Landing on the floor with a very heartbreaking, shattering sound.
Ouch.
Okay, you doing anything else on your turn?
No, that's my full round action, isn't it? To fire twice.
Okay, Elora.
Oh, Kero, you've lost your crossbow. Hang on. She's going to very quickly whip her crossbow from off her side. Ooh. I believe she has a crossbow.
Imaginary crossbow.
My imaginary crossbow. I'm sure I've got one.
She's going to stand there like that.
Yeah, it's a mime. Because if you remember the time we went, a couple of times we've gone shopping, she's looked at
them,
asked her questions, and guessed.
Actually, no, CBA. I don't. Actually, no, I don't.
Hey, you've never bought it, have
no,
you?
No,
keep looking.
No, it's a light crossbow. She's gonna hand over a light crossbow. She's just gonna slide that across to him as a move action. As she looks over the top, can she see directly down to the front doors if she leans right the way over? I'm just double checking.
Yes. Right. Yes, you can. I mean, you won't be able to see the doors, see the doors, but you can see in front of the door.
Right.
Yeah.
Can she? Right. So this area of acid that's on the floor is how far away from the front door did you
15
say?
15 feet.
Well, it's the edge of it. It's 5 foot away from the front door.
Right. She would like to move her defenestrating sphere from around. How far away was the catapult?
Catapult was 60 foot away.
If you put your maelstrom of air into the acid, does it spew the acid further?
No.
It dissipates it.
She's a washing machine.
Yeah.
It's worth a try. About 60 foot away. Right, she's going to move it halfway along towards the front door. Does she catch anybody along the way?
Well, yeah, if you're going to be moving it through people.
Yes, in that case she will move it towards, she'll move it through people, but 30 foot, so it'll stop wherever 30 foot is towards the front
door. So from the catapult, 30 foot closer to the front door.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's going to land on some poor unfortunate soul, probably. Right, so it said poor unfortunate soul, roll your 3d6. Because it'll only ever affect one person, so.
That's 10. 10 points of damage.
18, they'll manage to stand up. Was it a reflex save to avoid being
thrown? It was a fort save.
Yes, they stood up. Is it a reflex save to avoid being thrown?
No, it's another fort save.
Another fort save to not get picked up by the wind.
Okay, no, they get picked up by the wind. Roll your
d8. Okay,
d8. Oh, 50
foot. That's 50 foot.
How many do you want?
What damage did you roll initially?
10.
10, okay.
There you go. You're going to want those three to go with those other two.
3, 4, 5.
You've got enough.
50 foot.
Roll it. Oh, 50 foot. Yeah, sorry. 6, 10, 14, 16, 17 points of damage to whoever the poor unfortunate is.
Yeah, okay. So as you bring your defenestrating sphere back towards the church, the people in its path get ruffled around. You see the wind blow up their tabards. You see the occasional person have a tabard flung over their head.
I just hope they're wearing underwear.
Or trousers.
I can confirm that all of them are wearing trousers.
Not men in kilts, then.
No. where should I say? Some tabards get thrown over heads and they're left clawing to try and see where they're going. But you eventually bring your sphere to rest on said poor unfortunate soul who has won the worst lottery in the world. and he, that person takes, this is probably a woman actually this time, she takes an absolute battering as this wind, but she's able to stand on her feet until again this updraft catches her and flings her 50 foot into the air.
Whee!
As she goes, Aah! As she goes. And as she lands, make me a d6.
Got to be a high chance of her landing on somebody at this stage.
Yeah, she's going to land on someone else. So she'll take... she'll take... How much damage was it in total?
27.
She's killed upon impact. And make me 2d6, please.
One was a 5, one was a 4.
Okay, yeah. So another one of these other guards that she lands on takes a bit of a blow as she lands upon them. Obviously 50 foot in the air, quite high velocity. That's going to deal a bit of damage.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that the end of your turn?
No, she's got one action left, I think. But I think. I think that's all she's going to do this turn.
I'm learning to like your deforestation sphere. It's good, isn't it?
Okay, Ogvar.
Okay. So Ogvar's at the top of the tower and yep. People are sort of retreating or if they can.
Yep.
Can Ogvar start to make his way back down?
Yes, you can make your way down.
Okay. How far will I get with my round?
So standard movement, if you want to do a full round action to move, you double it, so 60 foot down.
Mm-hmm.
You'd get most of the way down the tower.
Okay, yeah, I'll do that then. That's all I need to do. And then okay. I'm just on the stone of I think the back's all tidied up now. I'm coming back to the main floor. I'll see you all there. Over.
Okay. So yeah, you're able to get pretty far down the tower. You're 20 foot off the bottom of the tower. It's, you know, you'll get out onto the main floor at the end your next turn, basically.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Okay, so the main force are halted in their tracks by your arrow spewing out, your bolt spewing out acid. And in fact, the front line actually stumbles back and it actually everything shifts back slightly 5 foot as the front line tries to avoid and escape the acid. You do see some of the forces actually start making their way just along the edge where there's enough room to get past. So they do start slowly inching forward, but obviously they're one by one, so they're going very slowly. Okay. Esther and the Cathars in the main body of the church. Again, Esther's just squawking at them, trying to get them to reinforce the doors, trying to shove the doors shut as much as possible. Okay, so... Human, back to you. First up is this fighter character, this man, this were-rat. And he's going to again go for a full round attack on you, two claws and the bite. So he is going to go for a 22.
Yep.
A 14.
Nope.
And a 12.
Nope.
Okay, so he hits you with the one claw attack. And that is a 2 points of damage. As a claw just glances over your armour once more and just leaves a slight nick. Okay, you're up next, Ewan.
Sorry,
girl. I was going to leave you alone, but take that.
I'm going to try and smack him.
Okay.
32.
What? What? Yes?
Does a 32 hit is the question.
If the answer's no, we're in trouble.
Yeah, it hits.
Oh, it's only for 7.
Tis but a glancing blow.
Tis but a flesh wound's ire.
Okay, yeah. So Yeah, you leave another shallow cut on him. He's quite a slippery character. He's not that easy to grab. Yep, roll again.
Is that
a 19?
That's a crit.
Ooh.
On my second.
Roll to confirm.
He is the knight that goes,
18?
Yep, that'll confirm it.
Oh, right, so
roll your damage.
That is 15 plus whatever we roll. Oh, what's he doing? That's wrong dice.
D20's worth of damage.
I think not.
So that's 22 in all.
Okay, 22 points of damage. Wow, okay.
Useful?
Yeah, just what you want.
Yeah, okay, so you haven't killed him, but describe these blows to me.
I'm going to come down from right, my right to left.
Yep.
And as he turns to only catch the very end of it, I return straight across, and as he's turned, he's actually turned into the return shot.
Yeah.
Just below the, just across the midriff.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, so you do a pretty gnarly cut, and you can see blood begin to sheet down. He goes very pale, he staggers back slightly, and his blade, and he just generally looks very, very not good. That's the technical term for it, by the way. Okay, so Roman, fighting beside your side, beside you, is going to take another swipe at this this were-rat. So if you want to roll for me, Roman, plus 7.
19.
Plus 7, long sword, critical?
No. I add them all up.
Okay, that's fine. So 19, yeah, 19 is definitely going to hit. So if you want to roll me the damage, D8
plus 1. 6.
6 points of damage. Yeah, he is. Roman dashes forward ever so slightly, and he just sticks the end of his long sword into. It's a shallow blow to the chest. And this were-rat, he looks, you see the blood begin to dribble over his chin. He looks in a horrific way. He's clutching with the one hand at his belly. You haven't spilt his guts because you haven't gone low enough to do that. But had the blow been lower, it would have been, you would have been, you know, entrails on the floor. Okay, so the woman at the back, she raises her hand
and says, "Cheery bye."
And does the Macarena. And she is going to. She casts magic missile at you.
Whoa.
You see, she kind of flicks her hand forward in this kind of a sharp motion. Ooh. And three invisible bolts ripple towards you through the air.
Oh, not good.
And they deal 8 points of damage to you as they strike you centre mass, and it's just, you just get hit by these lances of force which almost kind of take your breath away and compress your chest.
Ooh.
Okay, so next up, Caddo and your Cathars.
Can we still see the boss?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So, once again, we're all going for the boss, people.
It's the woman this time. The woman with the big plumy helmet.
The woman with the big plumy helmet.
Okay.
20, first one.
20, we'll hit, yep.
So that is... Oh, I rely it's 19. Because I'm assuming the crossbow's not masterwork.
That's
going to
hit.
Yeah, so it's only 19. 6 points of damage.
Okay, so...
And then shot 2. Ooh, 17.
That will hit.
Oh, that's lucky. And that is 6 points of damage.
6 points of damage, nice. Yeah, you land these two bolts. All the time, your Cathars are also raining down arrows on her. in her general area vicinity, and you see several of them strike pretty good in the top of her shoulders. Your own bolts do a hell of a lot of damage. You see one kind of, as it passes her, it catches her cheek and almost rips the side of her cheek open to the point where you can see her teeth, and she's got this like little piece of flesh connecting her face kind of together. It's a really gnarly shot. And she drops to the floor on her hands and knees, vomiting just in the sheer pain of this blow. And she is in a horrendous state. Okay, so next up, are you done with this? Is that your turn, yeah?
Yeah, that's a full round action to okay. fire twice.
Elora, you're up next.
Okay, Elora will move the defenestrating sphere, the other 30 foot, to park it. Although she can't actually see the front door, she's going to park it where she thinks the front door is basically.
Yeah. Okay.
So she's literally just going to park it where she hopes will be the centre point of the front door.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
The next thing she is going to do is she is going to cast... I'm assuming it doesn't go through anybody else at this point, the rest of the 30 foot.
No, because you'd have to stop on someone to deal any damage.
Yeah, okay, fine. She's then going to cast False Life on herself.
Okay.
And she will regain... Well, she won't regain. What it will give her, if I can find it, will be... Hang on, I need my level 2 spells. Right. She will get 1d10 plus 8 temporary hit points for 8 hours. So what she's going to do is she's going to leave her position where she is.
Yeah.
She's going to start to run off down the stairs because I think she feels that at this point there is nothing further she can do from up here. There are no more catapults. She needs to be elsewhere in the building where her other spells will be more effective.
Okay.
So she's going to literally turn, start running down the stairs and just shout to Caddo, "I'll see you later, Kato, gotta go." And as she goes, so she's running down the stairs, bearing in mind the stairs are going to be, what, it's 80 foot up the tower, yep. isn't it? She's got 30 foot movement speed, so it's going to take her 3 rounds to get down.
No, you're spending your full turn. Oh no, you've moved, haven't you?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And she's going to cast False Life on herself by waving a sigil in the air as she goes down the stairs and muttering to herself. Casting False Life. So I'll roll the d10. yeah, that's the one. D10. So it's 5 plus 8 temporary hit points that she'll get.
13.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
cool.
13 temporary.
Yeah, perfect.
And that's her go done.
Yeah, so your next turn you can move, you can do a forehand action to sprint, run away, run.
So that'll get me what?
So it'll get
distance.
You down to the bottom of the tower.
Yeah, fine. That's fine.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so you do that. And Ogra, you are partway down the tower.
Okay. So with my remaining movement,
yep.
can I get down to the bottom of the tower and to the back door? With 30 foot of movement, can I do that?
You can, you know, you move down to 60 foot down. Yeah, you know what, yeah, you'll be just about able to get there.
Okay, so can I go to the back door and... Is it open or shut at the moment? I can't remember.
It's shut. There's
we barred it.
There's three Cathars. No, there's no bards there. there's three Cathars stood behind the door. The door is barred. Yeah.
Okay. Righto. Will I be able to unbar it and open it?
Yeah, if you're using that as your kind of action.
Yeah. I'm not intending on doing it. So I'd like to unbar the door and open it and survey whether everyone's still occupied by the entanglement and where the crawling individual is.
Yeah, okay, so you are, as you open the door, you see you kind of push your way through the Cathars and they kind of move out of the way. You lift this big bolt off the door, open the door up, and looking out into the garden, it is a literal jungle. The entanglement that you've cast has caused the plants to grow almost, and actually they're still going to try and entangle that guy who's crawling around, so with a 19 he makes his reflex somehow.
Okay.
But the plants that you've caused overgrow and tangle, they are chest height on you. They are deep. Make me spot check, please.
21.
Nice. Yeah. So, as you look, you can see that. I mean, you can hear these other three people who are fully entangled. They are still trying to. You can hear some guy, one guy, probably further down, going, "Fucking get off, bloody fucking plants!" They are just wrapped up like nobody's business. They just can't get free. But as you look around, you can just about make out this guy who's been crawling around is currently taking refuge behind what appears to be an overgrown 3-foot-long carrot.
Excellent. So, with that, I will just shout to him and say, I think you know the situation. I think you better come inside now. And just like have the Cathars stood around the door so he knows that he's... The game's up. He's basically telling him to surrender and come inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's cool. Sticking.
Yeah. So, outside, the main force... They are prevented from moving any further. Although a couple of them have tried moving up the side of this acid, this area that is filled with kind of this acidic spray. They've only got a narrow area to work through. It's not very practical to move an entire force. And anybody who's at the front knows that if they go up there, they're going to get picked off. They're going to get killed very quickly. So the entire main force has now stalled outside the range of the acid spray.
Achieved its aim then.
Okay, so Esther and the Cathars inside. You might now be able to hear a bit of what Esther's shouting to the Cathars, Ogvar. She's just shouting general encouragement. She's like, "No, move that pew there. I want to funnel them. Funnel them." And stuff, and she's just generally trying to get them into a good position to have a long protracted battle. Okay, so top of the round, Qin in the bottom. Right, so the fighter who is looking in a absolutely horrific state will turn around and use his entire action to disengage and move to the back of the room, past where this female werebat is, and he's heading towards the hole in the wall. But he's used his full round action to disengage. There is no attack opportunity provoked. Qin, you're up next.
Larry, you scaredy rat! Right! Okay.
And I look at the lady. And I go, "That looks like it will be you then." And I'm charging Smite.
Okay.
So that's, if confirmed, right, okay.
It's a shitstorm of pain.
19.
That hits, yeah, that'll hit.
+3+1.
I know.
So that's...
You look at the 3.
5 plus 2 per level, so that's 21. Plus 25 damage.
That's the damage. Okay. Righty-ho. Yeah, describe it for me.
I bet they're really pleased they came
I'll turn to the woman and go, "Oh, I suppose he's a scaredy rat. I suppose it'll have to be you then, won't it?" And I'm just going to run forward and bring my bastard sword from right to left, right at her neck, and try and cleave it all the way through to her opposite
rib cage.
He's cutting her in half, basically.
Yeah, there is some resistance, but you cleave her in twain.
Yeah, it's mainly bones and flesh.
And she is dead.
Severed,
yeah, quite literally. Okay, so Roman will charge up to after this fighter, after this remaining were-rat.
So I've got another attack.
What are you attacking? She's dead.
How far away? I've
He's past her. No.
No.
No. No.
Glasgow, by the way.
No, sit down.
You've had your fun.
You're moving through difficult terrain, like bits of body parts. Yeah.
Chopped a few. You've just chopped a human being in half. Be happy.
He's done it. Oh my God.
You deathmonger.
Biff it, biff
it. Hell. So yeah, Roman from behind you, he runs after this fleeing male were-rat. And he's going to be charging, so you can roll to hit for him with +7/+2.
Does he get a charging smite if he's a level 6
man? No. He's got a magical pony.
Oh, no. 11.
11 all in.
Well, 11 all in.
Nay.
No, yeah. Me, that would have been a 17.
We can't all be queuing, can we? Jesus.
Jesus.
No. So Roman takes, he dashes after this were-rat and attempts to take a swing, but he stumbles over a loose arm. and just misses. It whiffs past. Okay.
Careful there, young man. Bit of debris.
Okay.
How did you know her name was Debbie?
Oh dear. Okay, Caddo. What are you doing? I'm assuming you'd have probably told the Cathars to continue shooting at the forces on the ground.
So I've just told them to aim into the group now. Yeah. I'm intent on finishing off the leader, though.
Okay.
I want them leaderless by the time they get to the door.
Yep.
So first crack at that. Oh, that's not going to be very good. That's 13. That's not going to hit her.
No.
Let's hope the second one's better. Oh, God, that's 15.
That will hit, yes.
Oh, oh. That's lucky.
Okay, so roll your damage.
7 points of damage.
7 points of damage? Oh no, she's dead.
Ding dong, the witch is dead.
Yeah, you release this bolt and you almost put her out of her misery. She's on the floor, you just drop a bolt into her and she just dies with a whimper.
Excellent. So I shall shout into my speaking stone. Right, I haven't got any leaders left.
Okay, so the Cathars continue to, from above, continue to pepper the crowd, the main force, with arrows. That you see a couple of people tumble away with minor injuries, but there's no deaths on this particular occasion. Elora.
How many Cathars are there up there with me?
There were four.
Four, okay.
They were probably leasing off kind of two shots each, if they could.
Elora is obviously using a full round action to belt as quickly as possible down the stairs.
I'm going to say belt out a song there.
I did it my way.
Okay, yeah, so you make it down to the bottom floor.
Yeah.
That's it, yeah?
Well, I think that's as far as I can reach, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay.
I can't see anybody when I reach the bottom floor, can I?
No.
Okay.
Okay, so, Ogvar.
Hello. Is the man coming towards me?
That's all. Ooh, he does not escape your entanglement on this round. So he kind of looks at you, he gives this kind of resigned sigh, starts shuffling around this oversized carrot, and then is promptly rolled up into a ball by a tangling grapevine.
Well, I want him to move, he doesn't. Okay.
He's gone this entire time, just managing to escape the vines. He's been rolling 18s and 90s, and he rolled an 11.
Finish him off.
I looked at him. Obviously, he can make eye contact. He said, "When you get to the door, give me a knock, and I'll shut the door. I put the bar back on it, and I'll say to the captain, 'Let him in when he gets here.'"
Oh my God! Right. Okay.
Brilliant. Love it.
Brilliant. What are you doing? Anything else?
No, I want to talk to him.
So you're just standing there waiting for him to finally get out.
Well, I'll have a cursory glance around what else is going on.
How many rounds are we on of your spell now? Your entanglement.
That is the seventh.
Seventh, right? Okay. So you haven't got long. Okay. So third round. So third and final round of your acid arrow. Mm. Your fountain bolt, rather, sorry. The main force are, again, they are stood back. They are kind of just stood back waiting for this to clear off. Let's see. Make me, Spencer, make me a morale check. Just roll a d20 for me.
Ooh. A 10,
yeah. You start seeing some guards begin to flake off and flee. Not all of them. They are kind of whipped up into a bit of a frenzy. They're still in a big mob. But you begin to see some of these guards run off and flee. Okay, so Esther and the Cathars, again, Esther's going to be just prepping, making sure things are ready. She's probably, well, nobody can see her, but she's probably set up some what looks like a bit like a very crude palisade to try and guide people just through the centre of the church rather than bottleneck them a bit. She's just been doing everything in her powers possible to try and limit the flow of people who would be coming in. Okay? So, top of the round, fighter, were rat in the bottom of the church, he dives forwards towards the hole, in the process transforming entirely into a large dire rat that promptly slips down the hole and scuttles into the passage.
Yeah, but doesn't that give an opportunity?
No, because he's not in your threatened square.
No, but he's in Romans.
He was in Romans.
Was he? Oh, yeah, he was. Yeah, Roman commitment attack opportunity. Sorry.
Oh, no. Nine.
No, definitely not. Okay, so you see him as he dives forward. Roman takes a swipe, misses completely. And he, as he kind of dives forward, almost like someone diving into a pool, he transforms in midair into this large, scaly-tailed, bristly rat creature, which promptly disappears down this hole and into the passageway. Kieran, what are you doing?
That's not a lot. Oh, blast! One got away. Right, Roman.
Now, does the door into the passage that he escaped?
Yeah.
Does that open into the passage or into the cellar?
So this is a stone door that you were able to. I think you pulled it open. No, you pushed it inwards.
Right.
So if you remember back when you first discovered this door, you had to push it inwards, and then you had the trap come and hit you.
And the door into the cellar pushes into the cellar.
Yes.
As well. Oh, good to see you. Right. I'm just going to turn to Roman and say, it looks like we've either killed them or they've run away. Let's take this battering ram and get out of here and relock it. If they come again, they'll get the same.
Okay, cool. So Roman gives you a nod, gives you a bit of a rough, yeah. So you pick up, he picks up the battering ram, drags it behind him, and...
And now my papa divine grace or divine favour is over.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so you're able to pull the door shut behind you, you lock it firmly, give it a couple of test tugs, and yeah, it's pretty firm. Okay, so Caddo.
So I'm going to say to the Cathars, I think our work here is done. Let's get downstairs. I think they probably need us at the front door. And okay. Promptly start running down the stairs at full tilt.
Yeah, so you're all running downstairs. You're going to get 60 foot downstairs.
Mm.
Okay. So, Elora.
Okay, so Elora's hit the bottom of the stairs and she's come out into the bottom of the building. the defenestrating sphere winks out of existence.
Okay.
So that is now done, so that disappears. she's going to run into the main body of the church. What can she see?
So yeah, you can see Esther and these Cathars. So you've had Colbeen, you can see Colbeen, Esther. Colbeen appears to be setting up some sort of explosives in the doorway.
Oh, nice.
You're not sure whether he's intending to bring down the doorway on people or whether he just really wants to make it a big boom. You're not sure.
Good old Colbean.
But Esther is currently directing people. You can see that she, in the main body of the church, all of the pews have been stacked up to form a corridor leading down the main body of the church, funneling them towards the kind of altar area. You can see that some of these things like candelabra, they've had like the kind of the tops taken off and they've been kind of planted, so they're pointing. Just very, very rough, crude kind of palisade formation. The Cathars are all kind of busting around just trying to get anything they possibly can to make it as difficult as possible for people to get in.
She's just going to shout at Esther and say, Esther, where do you want me? Where shall I go?
Oh, over here, dearie.
Right. I'm going to go where she directs me to go, and I am going to take up position and wait.
Yeah, so you're stood near Esther. You're not on the front lines because she's aware that you're a sorceress, so she's not going to put you on the front lines, but you are in the kind of the main body.
Can I see who is at the... Who's taking up the front?
Okay, so take it at the front. Esther is stood kind of reasonably near the front. She's not right at the front. But you can see several of these Cathars. So I think we had... the children are not in this room. They've been kept separate. You imagine they were probably with Ruth. You can't see Ruth or Gerhardt. But you can see... Roman isn't there. There were three Cathars with Ogvar, so probably Alia, Gerlok, and Hall are with Ogvar, but the rest of them are in the main body of the church.
Okay, that's all she's going to do for the time being.
Okay. Right, Ogvar, are you just going to continue to wait by the back door?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Okay, so you're just waiting by the back door.
Yeah, listening for the knock.
Yeah. You hear some vague, strangled yells. So, the main force at the front. As they stand there watching, the geyser of acid begins to sputter out. And as it sputters out, its radius decreases until there's nothing but like a small sprinkle left. And they very carefully begin to walk forwards. And they advance. They're now within 10 foot off the church doors. Okay. Again, changes now because obviously, Elora, you're now with Esther and the Cathars.
Right.
So everyone in the front of the church, it is just a waiting game. You are now waiting for the breach to happen. There isn't really much chance to do anything else in this time period.
I think what Elora would probably do is she'd turn to Esther and she'd lightly touch Esther on the shoulder and cast resistance. So she's going to imbue Esther with magical energy that protects her from harm, granting her a +1 resistance bonus on all saves.
Okay. Cool. So, the infiltration team in the back garden who are currently entangled, haven't given them a chance to escape. With a 6 and 4 and 1 and 10, they're not going to escape anyways. They are just currently just wrapped up, flailing around. They are, you know, you can hear odd cries of help or I'm stuck, can't get out. It's very faint cries of clearly, you know, they are completely trapped here. It would have been a great plan to go over and through the back door and infiltrate that way as well, because you've got kind of like a 3-pronged attack then, but it just hasn't gone to plan thanks to entanglement. They are trussed up like turkeys in the garden. Okay. So, top of the round. So, actually, I'm going to come out of the round now, because there is no active battle going on. You were playing a waiting game. So, just going around the table. Elora, you're waiting with Esther in the main body of the church with the rest of the Cathars.
Yeah.
Yep. Cado, you're coming downstairs with your Cathars from upstairs.
Yes, to join Esther and the gang.
Yeah, you will very easily be able to kind of get to the front, because there is probably going to be a little bit of a stalemate going on before they actually breach the doors, because obviously, you know, they've got no lead and they're just going to be kind of, while they are advancing forwards, it's a slower rate now. So yeah, you will be able to reach the main hall with your Cathars.
Okay.
By the time Ogvar, you were still standing by that door.
I think so. Oh, from off there to there.
Yeah.
How far am I away from everyone? How far is the back door from, like?
It's probably, I mean, 40 foot. It's not far at all.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm happy by the back door.
Yeah. Okay. And then, Qin, you'll be making your way back up with Roman.
With me and Roman would be bringing the battering ram.
Yep.
Up. Try and use it to ask Esther if there's anywhere she wants it placed.
So you say, oh yes, thank you, dear. He grabs it from you and then promptly tosses it into a pile of junk which has been built up.
Okay.
Okay. So.
And then I'm going to touch myself. Using
what?
Healing touch. Lay on hands. For.
It was the body motion that went with it as well.
I'm going to touch myself
because I've taken a bit of damage for another 4 points of healing.
Okay.
Oh dear.
Okay.
He looks so pleased with himself.
Christ.
Oh dear.
Right. Okay. So the battle has reached a stalemate. There are. The guards are slowly inching closer and closer to the door, and you'll occasionally have the Cathars who have the Cathars who are with you, Caddo. They'll probably occasionally pop off a arrow or two through this very narrow gap, through this gap, which is, it's probably only about less than a person's wide than the front door. They will occasionally pop off a couple of arrows, just keeping them at bay and just forcing this group of guards to just push back slightly before they return like the tide. And all of you can make me a listen check.
Go on, mate.
15.
Oh, God. That's a nat 1 plus 3.
Jesus Christ.
12.
I'm adding to that. 3.
I've gone deaf.
19 on it.
Okay, oh, 19 and 15, which is quite apt, considering you two are the holy ones here. You both would recognise this faint sound which drifts in on the breeze. Because although obviously there's a lot of battle going, there's a lot of movement going on, it is quiet. It is, you've got to this kind of tense stalemate. But both Qin and Caddo, you recognise the sound that drifts in. It is the sound of a horn. One which is very commonly used when a troop of Cathars set out or return from a mission. And you can hear the sound of hoofbeats. As the guards in front of you turn abruptly to their right, down from the side of the church, where the path leads up the side of the church. And you hear this sound of hoofbeats, this horde of horses. It grows louder and louder, the sound of horns grows louder and louder. As from the gap in the door, you see white stallions ridden by Cathars mounted in gleaming armour charge and plough forth into the crowd in front of the church. They hold spears with big
lances?
No. No. Spears. They hold spears. Pinions. And flags.
Yeah.
Pinions. Yeah. They hold spears with pinions attached with the symbol of Avacyn sewn on in silver. And they dive forth into the crowd, horses leaping over fallen bodies, spears being driven into chests, swords slicing through limbs. As roughly 20 odd Cathars pile into the fray, you see magic begin to fly. You see Cathars who get knocked off their horses, their comrades rushing to their aid, casting healing magic, filling the area with this very holy, both you, Qin, and Caddo, you get this very holy aura, this holy ambience. As the Cathars outside lay waste to the opposition. And it isn't long, it's probably only probably only a couple of minutes before the outside of the church falls silent, and all you can hear is the sound of horses' feet clopping on cobbles. As approaching in the doorway, you see this Cathar, garbed in the shiniest silver armour, embossed with symbols of Avacyn and inlaid with what appears to be some sort of gold filigree. He has dark skin which is sheened over with a layer of sweat, and as he approaches he wipes a stray streak of blood off of his high cheekbone. He places both hands on the edge of the door, looks in at you and goes, "We heard you needed some assistance."
Alora's just gaping. Like, she's just, eyebrows are up, her mouth is hung open, like, she's just thinking, who is this? Where did these... She turns to Esther. Where did these come from?
They're mothers, I would suppose.
Alora's going to look even more surprised now and just stare wide-eyed at Esther.
To be fair, I think Kewin and I had it covered, but it's nice of you to come along and mop up the finishing touches, I suppose.
Yes, well, it is the glory and honour of Avacyn, and you've done a fantastic job, and we can only commend you for your brave and meritorious acts of service. Is Gerhardt about, by any chance?
We didn't bother to wake him.
From behind you, you hear some shuffling steps. Oh, hello there, whippersnapper. So you got the message then?
Oh, he's a dark horse, isn't he?
Ah, you're up. Sorry.
Yes. And you can see outside through this gap. This man steps back. He looks to be in his late 30s, early 40s. He steps back and you see other hands appear and the doors are slowly wrenched open with a horrendous squeak because they've dropped with the impact, they've dropped on their hinges and they've wedged into the floor. And you see several big Cathars. They are built like tanks. They are pulling the doors open with sheer brute strength. And actually, make me a wisdom check, everyone, please.
Wisdom, oh joy, my very good one.
Oh, you haven't got wisdom, you've got wisdom.
Yeah. It says whiz, not whiz. That's really funny.
Oh dear.
It's brilliant, never noticed it.
Make your wisdom.
I've got wisdom. Well, that'll explain why there's only an 8 in the box then.
Don't worry, nobody told Rick. We didn't, did we?
No. He spotted it for himself.
Wisdom. Yeah. Right.
Oh, you got more than me. That's not fair.
Well, hang on. I've got a -1 on that. So that's a 15 all in.
Oh, well, I've got 15. +3, so I'm 18 all in.
18.
14.
19. Okay, you will recognise as the doors open, pulled open by these big Cathars, you hear a rah!
Oh, he's back.
As you hear the very familiar voice of Robert.
I've never heard of Robert.
No.
I wouldn't recognise Robert.
Oh, no, you wouldn't, would you?
Who's Robert?
No, so, sorry, Caddo, you wouldn't recognise this voice. But the rest of you recognise the very familiar sounds of Robert. Followed by the familiar sound of Callie going, "Will you stop that nonsense?" And the doors are opened up, revealing the scene in front of the church. It has been a veritable bloodbath. Of these guards, you could say maybe a handful survived by running away, but the rest which have been attacking the church have been put down with a pious ferocity. There is mercy on this battlefield.
Do we feel sorry for them?
There is mercy on this battlefield. You see a couple who might have escaped being killed outright, crawling around on the floor, moaning and groaning. You see a couple of healers, a couple of clerics walking around with several, with a couple of Cathars by their sides. And they are healing the wounded and then they are immediately being taken into custody.
We've got plenty of blessed bandages. Got those back.
You hear the sound of clopping hooves and a rolling carriage as, following up, you can see obviously these big white stallions. They are being held. They're being held. They've been tied up. They're being picketed. But up this path from the side of the church, you see another two black horses appear. And they are dragging a prison carriage, basically. This big, imposing... It's made of big, imposing blackened metal. And it's got this big door on the back, which, as they heal them, they're immediately cuffed, manacled, and put into the back of this jail wagon. And the door is slammed shut behind each and every single one.
Do we see one here?
Do you want to specifically go and search for one here?
Well, no, as I'm seeing these people traipsing
into the wagon,
I would recognise one here.
No, you do not see her being led into the wagon.
Excellent.
But there are probably, out of the 40, there are maybe 8 people who have survived this.
That's a bloke out the back survived.
I'll go on to that in a minute.
Okay.
He's still tied up by a carrot.
Yeah, great minds, actually. But, so yeah, you see this scene in front of you, and... These Cathars are very busy. You can see one, they have a wagon full of supplies with them. You see one reach into the back of the wagon and pull out a mop and start mopping up the blood on the street.
Excellent.
They aren't going to leave this blood to dry on the floor. They are immediately scrubbing the area clean. They don't want any trace of this left behind. And yeah, you see bodies, they begin to wrap, pick the bodies up, wrap them in cloth and shove them into an empty wagon for disposal, you would assume. So yeah, Gerhardt appears in front of you, obviously the pews are all over the place, Esther relaxes, and from behind Robert and Callie, you see a very familiar figure of Florent Aziz appear. And he plays his head around and goes, "Hello, Grandmother! How are you faring?" And she rushes up to him, grabs his cheeks, smooshes them together, and she's, "Oh dear, darling Florent, oh!" And she's just fawning over him a little bit. And he gives her a cheeky grin and he goes, "Well, yes, this was part of the reason why we were delivering letters down to Selhoff, heading out this way." So yes, and Gerhardt behind you, he gives a chuckle, and this obviously this lead Cathar, he approaches him and gives him a pat on the back and, "Oh, thank you, whippersnapper, got us out of a tight spot there. Oh, I reckon these young ones had it covered, but they're very much appreciated." Okay, so from the back garden, you feel your spell finally fade away, Ogvar. This kind of very, this link you've had to the nature, this very kind of feeling of finally being at home, fades away slightly as you can tell that your spell releases. And shortly after, the Cathars you left at the back door appear, and they are dragging, they have cuffed and kind of grabbed hold of, not cuffed with manacles, but they've kind of grabbed them, hands behind the back. They're leading the three who were tangled further on the garden out. They pass them off to the Cathars and they go straight into the back of the carriage before heading back. And this guy who told to surrender, they appear carrying him feet and ankles as he's moaning and groaning in pain. And they take him out. He is briefly stopped by a female cleric. She gives him the basic medical care, heals him up enough to stop him dying, and then he too gets thrown in the back of the carriage.
Excellent.
Is there anything you want to say to him as he walks past? Because he will be walked past you.
"Oh, I don't think that quite went to a plan for you, did it?"
The guy grimaces at you, and he's very quickly whisked away.
"Maybe gardening's not for you."
Okay.
Is the big carrot still out the back?
Do you want to go check?
Yes.
Okay. When you go and check, you can see that although the entanglement has lifted and these plants have died away, there are certain things in the garden which have remained the same. You can see a tree which is completely twisted out of shape. It's turned to kind of like a corkscrew upwards. A bit odd. But you can indeed see that although Ruth's raised beds have gone back to normal, you can see that some of the wood has broken, some of the plant pots have been broken. There's maybe a couple of turnips uprooted, but this big carrot does still exist. It is still about 3 foot long.
Okay, Ogvar's going to pick it up.
Do you want to make me strength check on that?
Yeah, I can do.
Soup for weeks.
Well, that's nice. Yeah.
Gift for Ruth.
It's going to be a 7.
You are going to be staggering around like nobody's business. It is a 3 foot long carrot. But yeah, you can just about.
I was quite happy to hold it by the green bits at the top and drag it back into the church with his bucket on his head.
You drag a trail of mud behind you, which Ruth isn't there. She hasn't seen it yet. You're probably safe for now. But yeah, so you drag your giant carrot into the church.
Laura's going to watch him just dragging carrot into the church from a distance and frown slightly.
I'll see it and just go, spoils of war.
As Alora makes a swift exit to join Esther and bolster forces, Caddo continues to fire fountainhead bolts down in front of the church doors as his commander kill count continues to climb. Meanwhile, Ogvar heads down toward hallowed ground, his quarry left in a quandary, flailing around in the foliage and in a terrifying game of Twister. The scene on the subterranean floor sees the vault scattered with signs of a battle won. Colbin had redeployed himself upstairs to be more useful, and we were treated to the heroic scene of a pair of imposing weapon-wielding paladins, puffed with pride, as they had definitively slain some warmongering were-rats. One hit the traditional skewered rat trope terrifically, whilst another was given the special treatment of a split personality, whilst the third gave Roman the slip by shape-shifting to escape a similar fate. And as the Cathar cavalry came to aid our Abyssinian defence force, things finally came to a head. As some discussed the seriousness of the Selhoff situation, the rest cracked on with a considerable amount of cleanup in the cathedral. Ogvar collected an oversized carrot for the cooking pot, the criminals were rounded up and consigned to custody, and a formidable figure appears in the archway where the doors once stood. Hey, you made it this far, so lend us your ears for a moment longer if you will. Firstly, we are most humbled that you are enjoying our yarn, and the crew thank you from the bottom of their hearts for your patronage. Producing this podcast is incredibly hard work, and as such, if you would like to support us, there are a few ways in which you could really make a difference. Sharing links to friends and family helps to spread the word so others like you can find us and in turn they too can enjoy the show. Equally helpful is leaving a 5-star review on Spotify and any other streaming services, which will help us immensely. Or, if you feel you could go that extra mile and contribute a few coppers to keep our creative juices flowing, you can hop on over to our Buy Me a Coffee page or drop us an email. We would all be immensely grateful for your support in any form. Lastly, we invite you to visit our website, where you will find information on our campaign from backstories to settings. Join our Facebook group or follow us on Twitter. All the links are in our episode bios. Don't forget to smash the subscribe and download buttons so you never miss the next episode. See you all again next week, folks.